This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. Fortunately, GEICO makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too, because having a home is hard work. Go to GEICO.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. GEICO.com. Easy.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Environmental concerns off California. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka. On this Monday, October 4th, glad you could be with us, and here's what we have for you this hour.
Coast Guard crews and others are working to contain an estimated 126,000 gallons of crude oil that spilled off Orange County and is closing beaches.
Democrats appear committed to reducing the size of the $3.5 trillion social spending bill. The question is, what programs get cut?
The Facebook whistleblower says she felt the company put growth and user engagement ahead of what it knew about the ill effects of its platform.
And what happens now after the announcement by Merck that it's developed a drug to treat COVID?
We heard a lot about remdesivir, another antiviral. I think the advantage that we have here with Merck is remdesivir is administered as an IV infusion, so you get your injection, you sit there, and it's through an IV drip. Here, this is a pill.
Dr. Dean Finelli at Cooley LLP on the pill from Merck that the company says is reducing hospitalizations and deaths by half for people with COVID. A possible underwater pipeline leak has sent an estimated 126,000 gallons of crude oil into the waters off Southern California. Crews in the water and along the coastline yesterday tried to contain the damage. Booms, a temporary floating barrier used to contain marine spills, were deployed on the ocean surface to try to contain the oil while divers sought to determine where and why the leak occurred. On land, there was a race to find animals harmed by the oil and to keep the spill from harming any more sensitive marshland in Orange County. County Supervisor Katrina Foley said more than 3,000 gallons of oil were removed yesterday.
You can't get wildlife back that are killed through this process. And some of the habitat, the plant species, they're going to be impacted for years to come, likely.
Beaches from the Santa Ana River jetty to the Huntington Beach Pier have been closed. Officials say more oil will wash ashore this week, covering both beaches and wildlife in thick, crude tar. To Washington now, Democrats trying to pass a massive social policy and climate bill are said to be considering two different ways to reduce the overall price tag of $3.5 trillion. One would be to eliminate proposed programs entirely. The other would be to reduce the duration of those programs. Debate began this weekend after President Biden said Friday they would have to shrink the size of the legislation. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer.
I believe we're on track with both tracks to pass both the bipartisan infrastructure bill, as well as the reconciliation Build Back Better bill, and our goal is to get it done in the next month.
Choosing which option to pursue is likely to force hard choices on Democrats over cherished objectives. Among the many measures, lawmakers are aiming to create a new national paid leave program. The Wall Street Journal says Mr. Biden told House Democrats that after negotiations with centrists, he expects the overall tab to now fall between $1.9 and $2.3 trillion. What's the timeline for the newest drug that claims to reduce the effects of COVID-19? Drug maker Merck said Friday its experimental COVID-19 pill reduced hospitalizations and deaths by half in people recently infected with the coronavirus. The company said it will soon ask health officials in the U.S. and around the world to authorize the pill's use. In-depth analysis from Dr. Dean Finelli, a pharmaceutical expert with Cooley LLP in Washington. Dean, your reaction to the announcement?
Well, it's certainly good news. I mean, there's obviously a lot of people out there that are, for whatever reason now, hesitant to get the vaccine. So certainly, if you're not taking the vaccine to prophylactically prevent yourself from becoming infected, then we certainly need more of these antiviral drugs. This is not a prophylactic like a vaccine. This is a treatment that will be administered to individuals that have contracted the virus. So as I mentioned, certainly for those individuals that currently haven't been vaccinated, this is good news for them because the results The preliminary results that are out look like this is very promising.
All right, so how do we process this since at this point it's only an announcement from Merck itself? And of course they're, you know, painting the upside.
That's correct. You know, this is just, it's going to take some time like everything else. These have to go through the trials, phase one, phase two, phase three. You know, they will apply for emergency use, so there will be expedited analysis of the data once they submit it. But we're probably still looking at quite some time before this is available to the public.
What does that mean? Months? Weeks? Longer?
Probably, I would say some. It's hard to say at this point. You know, we'll have to see when they submit their data. But it looks like, you know, probably sometime in early 2022, if I had to, you know, just put a crystal ball to this.
Yeah. So what does that do to, say, efforts to get people vaccinated who might be on the fence at this point? Because now, I guess they might say, oh, terrific, there's a pill. I don't need to take a vaccine.
Right. And the way you put that, that's not the correct mindset that people should have. Certainly, you want to avoid getting this. So this should not be looked at as some silver bullet. Now I don't have to wear a mask. I'm not vaccinated. I could do what I want. You still don't want to get the virus. Obviously, you know, this is a therapeutic that would treat people that are, you know, having the effects of the virus and to prevent them from getting those severe effects. But that said, again, you know, the safest thing people could do at this point is either get vaccinated, and if they're not in that group, you know, they still have to, you know, do the social distancing and wearing the mask, because although this is great news, these therapeutics will definitely save lives, you don't want to be in a situation where, you know, you're refusing vaccinations and prophylactic remedies that are out there and waiting on the alternatives.
We're speaking with Dr. Dean Finelli, pharmaceutical expert at Cooley LLP in Washington. We're talking about Merck's COVID drug announcement. I presume other pharmaceutical companies are working on this, right? This won't be the first one to be pressing the FDA for EUA.
That's correct. And if you think about, you know, we heard a lot about remdesivir, another antiviral. I think the advantage that we have here with Merck is remdesivir is administered as an IV infusion. So you get your injection, you sit there, and it's through an IV drip. Here, this is a pill. So that's really great news. It's easier to take, obviously, and compliance would probably be a lot easier for those people, obviously, that don't want to get stuck with a needle.
If you're Merck at this point, are you anticipating that at some point you'll get at least emergency use authorization, and so you're making pills as fast as possible right now to meet potential demand? Like, how does that work behind the scenes?
Yeah, certainly with the vaccine, we know they were manufacturing doses, millions of doses of the vaccine, even before authorization. Here, you know, probably because this is more in the therapeutic realm as a treatment and not a prophylactic to prevent it, I would probably think they probably would wait till they're closer to authorization before they go out and mass produce this, because when you think about it from the vaccine standpoint, we knew that was going to be administered to tens and hundreds of millions of people. Here, this is to give to people that have become infective as a therapeutic. So probably that's a little later in the horizon when you compare that to the way the vaccine was manufactured.
Nice, Dean. Dr. Dean Finelli, pharmaceutical expert with Cooley LLP. Coming up next, the Facebook whistleblower speaks out.
This is a metaphor for your business's journey. Sometimes it feels like the course keeps changing right before your eyes. Whoa! And in order to maneuver it, you need an expert by your side. That's what Dell Technologies advisors do. They have the tech solutions you need to help you get out in front and stay ahead of the game. Woo! Call an advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL and do more with modern devices in Windows 10 Pro.
Thanks for being with us. The former Facebook employee who gathered documents that form the foundation of the Wall Street Journal's investigative series said she acted to help prompt change at the social media giant, not to stir anger toward it. Frances Haugen, former product manager hired to help protect against election interference on Facebook, said she had grown frustrated by what she saw as the company's lack of openness about its platform's potential for harm. In a series of interviews, Ms. Haugen said her team had few resources and felt the company put growth and user engagement ahead of what it knew through its own research about its platform's ill effects.
The version of Facebook that exists today is tearing our societies apart and causing ethnic violence around the world.
She was on 60 Minutes. The journal series, by the way, based in part on the documents that Ms. Haugen gathered, describes how the company's rules favor elites, how its algorithms foster discord, and how drug cartels and human traffickers use its services openly. 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning, here's Jennifer Koshenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
A large oil spill off the Southern California coast left fish dead, birds mired in petroleum and wetlands contaminated, prompting local officials to call it an environmental catastrophe. The Coast Guard, heading a cleanup response involving federal, state, and city agencies, says there's a round-the-clock investigation into how the spill occurred. An estimated 126,000 gallons have spread into an oil slick covering 13 square miles of the Pacific Ocean. Huntington Beach Mayor Kim Carr.
Our wetlands are being degraded, and portions of our coastline are now covered in oil.
Carr called the spill a potential ecological disaster.
Number two.
Hundreds of world leaders, powerful politicians, billionaires, celebrities, religious leaders, and drug dealers have been hiding their investments in mansions, exclusive beachfront property, yachts, and other assets for the past quarter century, according to a review of nearly 12 million files obtained from 14 firms located around the world. The report, released by the International Consortium of Investigative Journalists, involves 600 journalists in 117 countries. It's being dubbed the Pandora Papers because the findings shed light on the previously hidden dealings of the elite and the corrupt.
Number three.
New York City teachers and other school staff members are supposed to be vaccinated against COVID when the bell rings this morning, and one of the first school district mandates in the country requiring employees to be inoculated against the coronavirus. Mayor Bill de Blasio gave a final warning to the city's 148,000 public school staffers on Friday, saying unvaccinated employees would be placed on unpaid leave and not be allowed to work this week. The Supreme Court on Friday declined to block the city's requirement. Tom Brady brought two decades of touchdown passes, victories, and championships to New England. He returned last night for the opposition and led his Buccaneers to a 19-17 win over the Patriots. Brady was asked if he thought this would be his last game in Foxborough.
It's been a great stadium, you know, for me for a long time. So I don't know what the future holds. You know, obviously there could be an opportunity to come back here. So we'll see. I feel like I'll always be a part of this community, and I'll be up here quite a bit when it's all said and done.
Brady broke Drew Brees' NFL career passing yardage record and became the fourth quarterback with victories against all 32 NFL teams, joining Brees, Brett Favre, and Peyton Manning.
Funny stat. Thank you, Jen.
Innovation, resilience, agility. It's how Michigan businesses work together and continue to build the future. Our expertise, talented workforce, and collaborative environment are making a difference now and shaping the future. Join us and make your mark where it matters. Visit michiganbusiness.org/radio to put your plans in motion. That's michiganbusiness.org/radio.
Thanks for being with us. A comprehensive new study by McKinsey and Lean In shows how stressed and exhausted many professional women are, and many of them are rethinking what they want from their work lives. In-depth analysis from Vanessa Fermans, reporter at the Wall Street Journal. Vanessa, what have you found?
Women have managed to persevere through a COVID pandemic, and they are right in the middle of a burnout pandemic.
And so they are realizing now, at least some of them, that there are more important things in life they want to do or pursue?
Well, I think it's important that we don't, I mean, it's important that to note that women are no less ambitious than they used to be, but they're thinking about what does ambition mean for me? At its very base level, it means how do I get what I want? And we saw this pandemic was especially brutal for women. They suffered a disproportionate number of layoffs. They took on more home responsibilities. They made more career sacrifices as they were managing the collapse of in-school learning and childcare arrangements. It's been a tough pandemic for women, but those stresses have also motivated many of them to redefine that ambition and reset the terms of their careers. So this is taking all sorts of directions for many women. Women aren't just quitting jobs. I wouldn't say you're seeing a lot of women quitting jobs. In fact, you're seeing women are forging new careers. They're switching to jobs better suited to their family lives. Some are starting new businesses. Others are taking a pause to plot their next career move. And even those who are staying in their jobs and going for bigger promotions, a lot of them are saying, you know, flexibility is going to need to be a big part of my future work life.
How about the woman you opened the story with who was, I believe, in marketing and then just decided, you know what, I'm going to teach?
Yes, she's great. And she's just a perfect example of all of this because she's actually not working any less right now. She's working pretty hard getting this new career off the ground. And you know, the epiphany or the revelation came to her really during the pandemic. She was working at home and she first of all, that was tough because she was in the beginning working nonstop at a very fast-growing national restaurant chain. And we know restaurants went through all sorts of upheaval, especially at the beginning of the pandemic. She has five children. She was overseeing their online learning in the first couple of months. But she realized from that time at home what she liked about it and what she didn't like about it. She loved that she was able to spend more time with her family. But you know, for her and a lot of us, remote work felt very much like being on all the time in her job, in a corporate job. And she realized that that was never quite the career she had always wanted. What she wanted to do was teaching, and she pursued that.
Thanks, Vanessa. Vanessa Fermans, reporter at The Wall Street Journal. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. In the last year plus, you may have seen yourself more in video meetings than in the mirror. That beard that looked okay on a webcam, well, it got out of hand, didn't it? So as long as you're resetting your look, reset the way you shave with something better. Harry's. If you don't know about Harry's, it's time to find out. Harry's was founded to be different from the big companies. They wanted to prove you didn't need to decide between a great shave and a fair price. So they give you both. I'm amazed every time at how close my shave is. My blades stay amazingly sharp for days. High quality for a low price. Exactly what they set out to do when they founded Harry's. And I think you'll feel the same way. There's never been a better time to try Harry's. Visit harrys.com/deal to get their starter set for just $3. It's 100% satisfaction guaranteed, so you've got nothing to lose. harrys.com/deal to get this special offer for the starter set. Harrys. harrys.com/deal.
The news without the nonsense. You're listening to America's First News, This Morning with Gordon Deal.
Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Monday, October 4. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koshenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. Crews work to contain a crude oil spill off Southern California. Democrats consider how to trim their $3.5 trillion social spending plan. In-person arguments today for the Supreme Court for the first time in more than a year. Brady and the Bucks beat the Patriots in Sunday Night Football. Tonight's Powerball drawing is worth $670 million. Bargains galore for National Taco Day today, and the quick-thinking McDonald's manager being called a hero. That story in about 20 minutes. New COVID-19 guidelines for contractors have been released by the Safer Federal Workforce Task Force as an answer to President Biden's executive order earlier, which ensured adequate COVID safety protocols for contract workers. In-depth analysis from David Barron, labor and employment attorney with Cozen O'Connor. David, what should we know?
Well, the key issue here is that federal contractors now are going to have to, mandate vaccination for their employees, which is part of Biden's sort of multi-part plan to encourage vaccination across the workforce.
Okay, so a federal contractor is who exactly?
Well, that's a big question, right? So obviously, anybody that has a contract with an agency or a part of the federal government, typically there's a process where it's called the Federal Acquisition Regulations apply, and there would be provisions that are placed into contracts with the federal government, which will now include compliance with the new vaccine mandates.
Wow. All right. So I don't know. Pick a federal contractor, Lockheed Martin. What if I'm an Uber driver and I bring a Lockheed Martin employee to the campus, or you know, I deliver food through DoorDash or something. What does that involve me?
Well, you know, probably not. You know, again, there's lots of nuances here that people are still trying to figure out as to how deep this goes. You know, subcontractors, for example, very likely to be covered if they're performing work on a prime contractor's project.
All right. So proof of vaccination here would mean what? That you've gotten one shot if it's Pfizer or Moderna? You need both? You have to have the 2 weeks following both? Are we throwing boosters in there now for Pfizer?
Yeah, no boosters yet, at least that I'm aware of. I haven't seen that. You know, they're requiring full vaccination, right, which should be, depending on the vaccine, two doses for Pfizer and Moderna, or, you know, a single dose for the Johnson & Johnson.
Okay. And then proof is just that piece of paper typically that a pharmacy would give us? That counts?
Correct. The card that everybody has seen, yeah.
Wow. And then how about for employees who claim some sort of exemption and perhaps are granted that exemption?
Well, you know, that's an important piece of this as well. You know, there's religious accommodations and also accommodations based on disabilities under the Americans with Disabilities Act. So where there's a medical condition that would make, you know, vaccination contraindicated by, according to their physician, right? So, you know, we've had a lot of clients that have wrestled with these issues. I think the hardest one is religious accommodation, because we've seen, you know, folks who have very strong feelings on the COVID vaccine try to pigeonhole their concerns into a religious objection. And, you know, we're seeing a lot of litigation surrounding that.
Yeah. We're speaking with David Barron, labor and employment attorney with Cozen O'Connor. We're talking about these new COVID guidelines for federal contractors. And who's to say, I guess, right, if I am or am not making up my dedication to religion? I could claim just 3 days ago I became really religious, right? I mean, is somebody vetting my religious practices to prove me wrong?
Well, it'd be up to the employer to enforce the law, and you know, in their individual workplace. You know, we've seen everything from, there's places online where you can get letters from pastors. But, you know, many people do have, you know, legitimate issues. Probably the most common one I've seen is the abortion and the use of fetal tissue, right? That's one that I think has you know, folks have raised. I will say that, again, most of the organized religions, including the Catholic religion, have come out and have statements on this. But, you know, a person can still have a personal religious belief that's different from the belief or public statement of their denomination.
Yeah. What else should we keep in mind here?
Well, this is only phase one, right? I mean, there's other pieces here to this mandate. I mean, there's going to be a mandate for employers that have over 100 employees from OSHA, which is coming, you know, probably in the next few weeks or certainly in the next month or two. And that's going to cover a lot more employees than the federal contractor mandate. And it's going to be subject to, a pretty quick legal challenge in the courts.
That's David Barron, labor and employment attorney with Cozen O'Connor. Coming up next, another Belichick embraced by Twitter.
Today's mic drop is brought to you by Dell. For your small business needs, call a Dell Technologies advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL.
Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Monday. It's time now for the mic drop with this morning's Mike Gavin.
Good morning. Well, we know that all eyes were on Bill Belichick and Tom Brady to see how they would handle their first meeting after parting ways on Sunday Night Football. But there was another Belichick who was also making some news during the game last night. Steve Belichick, Bill's son, who coaches the Patriots linebackers, became a meme during last night's game because of the faces he was making when the camera was on him. Specifically, one shot where within a few seconds he's seen making a few funny faces while sticking out his tongue and wagging it side to side. That prompted more than a few jokes from Twitter users, some who even said they would pay for a Steve Belichick streaming service. By the way, Gordon, according to Steve Belichick's one-sentence bio on the Patriots website, he attended your alma mater, Rutgers University.
All right, go Steve. Love those faces.
Yeah,
that was funny.
There you go. That's weird that we haven't seen much of him or heard much of him. I mean, he's been on the coaching staff for, I think, like 10 years, Belichick's coaching staff, but we haven't seen or heard much from him. All of a sudden last night, he was on camera a bunch of times last night I saw him for some reason.
I think this is the first time he's had a significant role like this.
Yeah,
he's been around a while, but now he's linebacker's coach.
Yeah,
whatever. Yeah.
Gotcha. But now the camera's going to be on him a lot more, I think.
Well, and I think I watched an early couple of series of the game last night and saw him. I thought, he's got some interesting faces. And then maybe that prompted the cameras to continue to watch him, and that developed into these other faces.
Yeah, the funny thing is, as you know, interesting as he looks on the sidelines, he when he does interviews, I saw an interview with him. He sounds exactly like his dad.
Oh.
Like the least interesting person you've ever spoken to, just like his dad. Like, you know, I don't know if he does that on purpose or if that's just the whole family just talks that way. I don't know.
He's been coached in the Belichick ways of media, apparently.
For sure. Yeah. Well, always coaching, Bill Belichick is. And we have nearly 4 weeks to go until Halloween, which means plenty more time to diss on Gordon's beloved candy corn. And if you're in the anti-candy corn corner like me, here's some ammunition. In a new article from USA Today, in which they write about candy corn dividing the nation, it's revealed that two of the ingredients in candy corn are gelatin and confectioner's glaze. Now, gelatin, for those unaware, is obtained by boiling the skin, tendons, and ligaments of the bones of animals, or end bones of animals. And confectioner's glaze is, in fact, a bug secretion. The lac bug, a parasite found in tropical and subtropical regions, secretes a waxy, waterproof coating to protect itself. The shellac is also used in paints, cosmetics, and other products.
Mm.
Yeah, that sounds tasty, doesn't it?
Yeah, delicious.
So my son, we were in the supermarket a couple of weeks ago, and I said to both of my kids, I said, you know, while we're here, pick out something for dessert tonight. You know, I mean, we're in the supermarket, pick literally anything.
Mm-hmm.
And my one son, my older son, actually went to the candy aisle and picked out candy corn.
Yeah.
And I said, are you sure about that? You know, and I wasn't going to not buy it for him. Again, I'm not a big fan myself.
Yeah.
But, you know, I said, are you sure about that? And he said, oh, yeah. And it took him, I would say, about 3 weeks to get through the bag of candy corn, because he could only eat like two or three at a time before he got completely sick of it. And he said, and then once he was done, he's like, you know what, I don't have to have candy corn again for an entire
really
year. Yeah, like it was around Halloween time, I wanted to have it once and that's it. I don't ever have to have it again, at least not till next year.
So I had him in the candy corn camp and then I lost him.
Well,
is that what happened?
It looks good, I have to say. It's a good looking candy, but it's just not a great tasting candy for some of us.
Did he? Well, see, he was only having two or three pieces at a time. I'm a full believer, like, you gotta have the fistful.
I mean,
a reach in the bowl, grab a fistful.
It's just too much. It's overpowering with all the shellac that surrounds it.
Thank you, Mike. Did you know most of the seafood on display at your grocer has been thawed out just to look fresh? Unless you cook it on the boat, peak freshness only happens when it's frozen right after it's caught. That's what they do at Wild Alaskan Company. Wild Alaskan Company delivers high-quality, sustainably sourced, wild-caught seafood right to your door. Premium cuts, ready to prepare, easy to cook. Choose from salmon, cod, halibut, and more, with different specials to explore every month. And they offer a 100% guarantee or your money back. I got the Wild Combo Box and couldn't be more impressed. Each piece of fish individually wrapped and labeled. Plus, the packaging can be composted. Very environmentally conscientious. Wild Alaskan Company's seafood is how nature intended it to be. Never farmed or modified, and no antibiotics. And right now, you can get $15 off your first box of premium seafood when you visit wildalaskancompany.com/Gordon. That's Wild Alaskan, A-L-A-S-K-A-N. wildalaskancompany.com/Gordon for $15 off your first box. Wild Alaskan company.com/Gordon. Use that URL to let them know that we sent you. This portion of the program is brought to you by Lightstream. Apply today for a fixed rate credit card consolidation loan and you could save thousands in interest. Go to lightstream.com/deal. September was a bad month for the stock market. All three major indexes had their worst month of the year. September, though, is also historically a tough month for the stock market. Even so, seeing a dip in your portfolio can be scary. So Money.com put together a list of things to remember. Number one, stocks are near where they were in July. Investors have been seeing record highs in 2021, and one bad month for stocks does not wipe out all the wins. Number two, the economy still has room to grow. Economists anticipate the U.S. gross domestic product will grow 5.6% this year. Number three, don't panic. When the pandemic hit and the stock market crashed in 2020, investors pulled $326 billion out of mutual funds and exchange-traded funds in March alone. But if those investors had held on and kept their money in the stock market, they would have doubled their money by August of 2021. 8 minutes now in front of the hour on this morning. Once again, here's Jennifer Koschenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
A Facebook whistleblower who brought internal documents detailing the company's research to the Wall Street Journal and Congress unmasked herself ahead of an interview she gave to 60 Minutes, which aired last night. Frances Haugen, a former product manager on Facebook's civic misinformation team, said she became increasingly alarmed by the choices the company makes prioritizing their own profits over public safety, putting people's lives at risk.
The thing I saw at Facebook over and over again was there were conflicts of interest between what was good for the public and what was good for Facebook. And Facebook over and over again chose to optimize for its own interests, like making more money.
Facebook's own documents reveal the company's executives had been aware of negative impacts of its platforms on some young users.
Number two.
The Supreme Court is beginning a momentous new term with a return to familiar surroundings, the mahogany and marble courtroom that the justices abandoned more than 18 months ago because of the pandemic. Abortion, guns, and religion are all on the agenda. The justices will meet in person for arguments today, although Brett Kavanaugh will participate remotely from his home after testing positive for COVID last week.
Number three.
With 56,662 reported COVID deaths, the U.S.'s September was more than twice as deadly as its August. September was the country's fifth deadliest month of the entire pandemic. Florida reported 10,448 deaths, about twice as many as August's. Democrats working to unite around a social policy and climate bill are weighing different approaches to reducing its overall cost. Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders told ABC a compromise will be reached despite opposition from West Virginia Senator Joe Manchin.
If you just listen to what Manchin said, he said he wants it to be paid for. He's right. I want it to be paid for. And in fact, that is exactly what we are going to do.
The Democrats' debate took on fresh urgency after President Biden said Friday they would have to shrink the size of the legislation.
Do you know how lucky you are that I chose you?
You chose me? But I'm the only person that took you in.
There's a new king of the pandemic box office. Sony's Venom, Let There Be Carnage, tallied an estimated $90.1 million in ticket sales domestically over the weekend. The best box office haul since the COVID outbreak began. It was also the second highest October opening ever, just behind Joker, which generated $96.2 million in 2019.
All right, there's life in the theaters.
Yes.
Thank you, Jen.
This is a metaphor for your business's journey. Sometimes it feels like the world is throwing everything it has at you, and to succeed, you need someone to guide you through. That's what Dell Technologies Advisors do. They have the tech advice to help you navigate whatever challenges you're up against and get you safely to where you want to be.
Call an advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL and do more with modern devices and Windows 10 Pro.
Innovation, resilience, agility. It's how Michigan businesses work together and continue to build the future. Our expertise, talented workforce, and collaborative environment are making a difference now and shaping the future. Join us and make your mark where it matters. Visit michiganbusiness.org/radio to put your plans in motion. That's michiganbusiness.org/radio.
Thanks for being with us. With fast food sometimes comes fast thinking. The manager of a McDonald's in Michigan jumped into action last week to save a man going into diabetic shock after the man's wife asked for help over the drive-through intercom. The News Herald says Susan Causey picked up her 84-year-old husband, Ron, from a senior center in Southgate when she noticed he was unsteady on his feet, believing his sugar levels were dropping and that her husband could go into shock. She rushed to the nearest McDonald's. While the indoor section was closed, cars were lined up at the drive-thru. Once she reached the intercom, Ms. Causey said she yelled that her husband was in diabetic shock and needed a large orange juice. James Dalpiaz, the location's manager, heard the call for help and said he knew just what to do. He grabbed an orange juice, added some sugar to it, and ran it out to the car in the drive-thru line. He said he knew to add extra sugar because his aunt has diabetes. Ms. Causey thanked Mr. Dalpiaz in a Facebook post, calling him, quote, my hero. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koschenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. Fortunately, GEICO makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too, because having a home is hard work. Go to GEICO.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. GEICO.com. Easy.